Our job is to consecrate ourselves to God. And if we do that day in and day out, God is going to show up and show off. Flip the script. If you want to change your life, you have to change your story. Kiss the wave. The obstacle is not the enemy. The obstacle is the way. Eat the frog. If you want God to do the super, you have to do the natural. Fly the kite. How you do anything is how you'll do everything. Cut the rope. Playing it safe is risky. Wind the clock. You do not find time. You have to make time. Seed the clouds. You have to sow today what you want to see tomorrow. Yesterday is history. Tomorrow is mystery. Win the day.
All right. Hey, so really quickly, for those of you that don't know, I meant to say this during the announcements, and I got wrapped up all excited about some stuff. But anyways, this week, if you are on social media at all, you saw this week that we had a pipe burst back in the coffee area, and it filled literally two-thirds of this auditorium, the entire foyer, all of our offices, everything was underwater. In fact, it was somewhere between 1,200 and 1,500 gallons of water, which is awesome. So we had a lot of people. I think we had like almost 20 people that showed up immediately, came out with shop vacs and fans. And in fact, Josh Daugherty showed up. He's one of the Achilles brothers. And he came and he had a big thing that he pulled over 1,100 gallons out himself with doing that. And so I want to really quickly just thank those of you that came, that were a part of that. It was so cool to see that. We're so thankful for that. And yeah, you can like, yeah, because they were awesome. Woohoo! Okay, so, and if you brought a shop vac, if you brought a fan, they are all back over here. Please take them home. Okay, so we've got them. But seriously, you can come grab them sometime this week. And we tried to dry them all out and everything. But that was awesome, just to kind of see that. And those of you that came in that didn't know, you're like, wow, I wouldn't have even known. See, it's just a really clean floor. We are so thankful that you're all here today. Hey, so today is January 1st. Right? How thankful are you that it is no longer 2022? Like, right? Praise Jesus, right? That's just, it has been an interesting few years. So I have in my office a 4-foot by 8-foot acrylic piece. It's about a quarter inch thick that I use as my whiteboard. And I put all sorts of stuff on it. In fact, I got a picture for you that you can actually see. It sits right behind my desk. And you can see, in fact, you can actually see this whole series. I took it about a month ago. This whole series laid out, all sorts of different things. Some of you can be like, what does that mean? I'm not going to tell you. So I've got all this stuff up there, and I literally throughout the year, I'll use that. I'll write series down. I'll write ideas down, things I'm thinking about. In fact, you can actually see on the right-hand side, you can see there we're starting to lay out some of the vision that we're going to be talking about here coming in March as we're changing some of those things that we're working on. And, man, I just work on stuff all throughout the year. Now, if you look at the bottom right-hand side, you're going to see a big blue thing. It's about a foot long. That is my eraser for that board, right? I had to buy one. It's literally this big, because if I got that little one, it'd be like, it'd take me, you know, a year to wipe that thing down. But you know what I've discovered is that if something stays on that board too long, even though it's a magic erase board, that eraser will not take it off. Man, I'm like rubbing and scrubbing, and I can get a lot of it off. I can get about 60% of it off, but it's still on there. And so there are times when I leave something on there for too long that I have to get basically alcohol, rubbing alcohol, and paper towels, and I have to douse that sucker and get it really clean and wipe the board completely clean. And that's the only way that I can get all the vestiges, all the leftovers, every single mark, every single smear, every single thing that's on the board. That's the only way that I can get that off is to, like, literally go for it and wipe that board clean. And in fact, now if you go into my office, I don't think I've written anything on it. My board is actually completely clean because we finished out the year, and I'm like, okay, I need to start with a clean slate. I need to start with a fresh ability to kind of see things and look at something different and new and be able to do that. You know, when God created the world, the Bible says that the first day of creation, that God separated the light from the dark. And the Bible goes on to say that God separated the light from the dark, and the morning and the evening were the first, what? Day. That is the moment in which time was created. So pause for just a moment, because this is so cool to think about. You realize that God literally created time. Therefore, because God is the creator of time, God does not exist within time. Let that sink in for just a moment. All right? But God created time. Do you know why God created time? God created time for you and I. Think about it this way. Every 24 hours, the day ends, right? Yeah, that's right. He's excited about that. The day ends. And then you wake up the next day, and it is a new day. God knows we're absolute hot messes. And we need a fresh start on a regular basis. And that's exactly what he did. He literally built within time the ability to have a fresh start every 24 hours. And then to make it even better, he says, okay, here's the thing. Not only do I give you a fresh start every single day, but then we're going to collect 7 days together. And those 7 days are going to be a week. And when that 7 day period is over with, I'm going to give you a new set of 7 days, a new week. Now, you know what's really cool? You fast forward to the New Testament. So in the beginning, God created the first day, right? He separated the light and the darkness. It was the first day, the evening and the morning. But then fast forward to the New Testament, the Bible says that Jesus Christ died on the cross, was buried, and he rose again. Do you remember what day of the week he rose again on? The first day of the week. You see, in the Jewish calendar, Sunday is the first day. And the week goes Sunday to Saturday. So not only did God give us every 24 hours a brand new day, but then every week he gives us a new week, and Jesus Christ died and he sanctified the first day of the week, if you will, to give us a fresh start. And then every 28 to 31 days, he rolls it over and we get to have a new month. And then every 365 days in that weird leap year, 366 days, we get a brand new year. Because God gives us a fresh start, a clean slate, the ability to do that. Now, the reality is, just like my board, sometimes if stuff hangs around in your life long enough, it can become really difficult to wipe that slate completely clean. And so that's what we're going to talk about today, is being able to forget our yesterdays. Because our yesterdays, a lot of times, bleed into our todays. And a lot of times we spend so much time thinking about our yesterdays that we can't live in today. And so today we're going to talk about how to forget our yesterdays. And we're going to start with a brand new slate. I love the fact that this year, that New Year's Day starts on a Sunday. Because this is the year, you know, it's like we said, it's been an interesting few years around here. In fact, there's been a lot of cultural shifting. There's been a lot of changing in attitudes and dynamics and ideas and all sorts of things that have taken place over the last 3 years. I'm not going to use that word unprecedented, because I think it's been overused. And quite frankly, I think the people during the Black Plague times would say, I don't know that it's so unprecedented. But the reality is that there have been some unique things that have taken place that have never taken place before in the world, and it's made shifting and things that have changed. And so we as a church, we have decided to do the same thing. So today, those of you that are here for the very first day of the fresh start of what we're doing here at Friendship Church. Because we're no longer going to look at the past. We're not going to look, well, yeah, but you know what? Those people that were here before, you know, all this stuff happened, well, they're gone now. You're like, well, I like them. Well, tell them to show back up. They're gone now. It's a fresh start. It's a new beginning. And in fact, I told you in March, we're going to tell you about what we're doing for the future. We're working through that. We're trying to lay that all out. Those of you that are leaders and are part of different things, you've heard bits and pieces of what we're going to do and how we're moving. But we're continuing to work on that and continue to lay that out, because it's going to be exciting. We are so excited for this new beginning that God has given us as a church, and what we're going to do and how we're going to move forward and the changes that we're going to make as a part of what we're doing here to reach the community that God has put us in. I'll give you a quick preview. If you don't know this yet, let me just share this with you. This is our 18th year here at Friendship Church. We came and we basically, it was kind of a replant, if you will. Our first Sunday here, there were, I think it was either 44 or 47 people. There might have been a dog that was running around. I'm not exactly sure. But there was literally, in fact, I think the only people that are still here are Don and Amy. Naomi wasn't, let's say Naomi may have been around, right? Naomi, how old are you? 19, yeah. So she was just a year old because she would come into my office, like I'd be working. She'd stand in my office door because Amy was cleaning, and she'd be like, and want to have a conversation with me. But anyways, glad you're home, Naomi. So literally, like, it is a completely different place, and yet at the same time, this time period has changed dramatically. When we came 18 years ago, Greenwood had, it was less than 26,000 people. Today, Greenwood is almost double that. So in less than 20 years, the city of Greenwood has almost doubled in size. And the dynamic, the cultural shift, all those things have changed dramatically. And so we really needed to look at that and say, hey, we need to make sure we understand who we're reaching. And so we're going to be talking about that here in a couple months and just kind of give you a little wet your whistle. But I want to prepare you as well. And so that's why we're doing this series, and it's starting today. The series is called Win the Day. And it's going to go for, and I pause for just a moment, don't freak out. It's going to go for a total of 9 weeks, okay? You're like, oh, relax, we've broken it up into little teeny tiny series. Everything okay? All right. Something just happened. God is speaking. Better pay attention. Okay, we broke it up in these little teeny tiny series. Like this first 2 weeks, we're simply calling wipe the board, right? Wipe the board clean. And so we're going to talk about, in a couple of weeks, the very first habit. There are seven habits that we're going to talk about how to win every single day of your life. And here's the thing. When we understand that God gives us a fresh 24-hour every single time, every single day, that means if you do not win that day, guess what? In 24 hours, you get a chance to win another day. And so we're going to talk about how to do that and how to actually become all that God has called you to be. And so this series is all about prepping us and preparing us individually so that we can step into this new vision and step into this new direction and step into what God is calling us to do as a church so that we can be all that we are as individuals. Because the reality is a great church is not because of a great whatever. It's because of the people that make it up, because the church is not a building. The church is you. And so this whole series is all about setting you up to have an absolute fantastic year. And so in 2 weeks, we're going to start with the very first habit, which is flip the script. And each and every week, during that seven-week time period, we're going to give you something to take home with you so that you can solidify it, something you can put in your hands. How many of you are tactile learners? It means you have to touch, taste, feel, see. Okay, good. You're going to love this series. Because we're just going to give you, we're going to put something in your hand every single Sunday. It's going to align with one of the habits that we're going with. And we're going to actually give you a little teeny tiny book on Flip the Script. And we're just going to give it to you because, listen, this is something you can use. Because we want to just ingrain these things within you. But there's also something else that we're doing during this series. We're going to be actually having a church-wide small group that's going to go and combine specifically with this series. So every single week during that seven-week part of that series, we talk about each of those habits. There's going to be a small group that I'm going to do a little video introduction, set it up for your small group leader, and then you as a group are going to talk about what we talked about on Sunday morning. Now, here's the thing. There are at least 8 groups that we have available right now that are open today here at Friendship Church. There's groups in Whiteland. There's groups in Greenwood. There's groups in Franklin. There's groups in Mooresville. There are groups that take place on Sunday night. There are groups that take place on Sunday afternoon. There are groups that take place on Wednesdays. There are groups that take place on Thursdays. There are groups for guys. There are groups for girls. There are groups for couples. There are groups for young adults. There is no excuse for you not to be in a small group. Because the reality is that the whole point of this is to get you engaged, having conversation, so that you can actually take these habits and put them into practice in your life. Some of you are like, I've never been in a small group before in my life. Guess what? Today is the day, right? It's January 1st, new habits, get it started. So before you leave today, I encourage you, I implore you, I challenge you to find a group and sign up so that you can actually take and wring every drop of potential out of this series, and they start the week of January 15th. So we encourage you to be a part of that. Now, today, we're going to dive in, and I'm going to give you part one of the introduction or the preface of this series. And it's all about forgetting yesterday. Forgetting yesterday. And we're going to read from the book of Philippians, and the writer is the Apostle Paul. And he's writing to a group of people that are in the church there at Philippi. And here's what's cool. You know how this church started? This church started because Paul got arrested, got thrown in prison with his buddy Silas. And at night, after they had been beaten and they had been thrown in prison, the two of them loved God so much, even through their bruises and their pain, the Bible says that they were singing psalms and hymns to God because of how great God was. And the Bible says that God sent a great earthquake, and it broke open all the prison doors, it broke free all the shackles, and the guard came down to check and see how many people were gone, because he knew he was going to be on the hook for all of them if they escaped. And the Bible says that he was about ready to take his own life, because he knew that that's what was going to happen. In the Roman culture, if you were a guard and you had a prisoner escape, you had to take their place. And so he was going to sacrifice himself so his family could live. And the Bible says that Paul hollers out and says, "Don't do it. We're all still here." And he's like, "What?" And that prison guard, that jailer and his family were the first people to accept Jesus Christ in the city of Philippi. And it was out of that home where the jailer was that the church of Philippi became established and grew and became an unbelievable body of Christ. And so it's to this group of people that Paul is writing these words. And I want you to listen to what he says. "Not that I have already grasped it all or have already become perfect." Now pause, you need to understand a little bit what he's been talking about for the last several verses. He's been going on for verses about how awesome Jesus is, right? Jesus is awesome and he does this and he does this. And then he transitions, he says, "Listen, God is perfect. Your heavenly Father is perfect. And you and I, we're not. But Jesus called us to become perfect, and he is in the process of perfecting us to make us more like Jesus Christ." And then he says, and these are the things that God's called us to, and he lists out all these things. And then he comes to this, he goes, "Now let me pause for just a moment. I don't have it all figured out." There are times when I'm talking about stuff with you guys and I share something with you, like, this is what the Bible says, and some of you look at me funny and I go, "You know, do you know how that works?" And I'm like, "I don't either. But I just know it's in there." And that's what the Apostle Paul is saying. He says, "Listen, guys, I want you to know something. I don't have it all figured out." Isn't it great that he says that? Because what pressure would be on us, like, "Well, we've got to live up to the Apostle Paul's standard," right? He goes, "No, I don't have it all figured out. I don't have it all things tracked in my brain. I don't have it. I'm not perfect. I don't have all things holding together. I don't have it all together. But I press on so that I may take hold of that which," "so that I may take hold of that for which I was even taken hold of by Christ. Brothers and sisters, I do not regard myself of taken hold of it yet." In other words, I still don't have it. I don't have it. I don't understand it. But this is what I do. This one thing I do. Forgetting what lies behind and reaching toward what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Now, a lot of times people read that and they go, "Oh, this one thing I do, forgetting." No. This one thing I do, and there are three parts to it. He goes, "I forget what has been already taken place. I press on," another translation says, "I stretch," or "I lean," or "I push towards what is in front of me. But then I also recognize and remember the call that God has had on my life." That's all one thing. That's the process of forgetting what is behind. It's you forget what's happened, you strain for what's currently in front of you, and you always keep your eye on what God has called you to do. You never forget that. And then I love this. You know, if you don't think Paul has a sense of humor, you've not read some of the epistles or the letters that he wrote, because then he writes this, and I love this. He goes, "Therefore, all who are mature, let's have this attitude. And if in anything you have a different attitude, well, God will tell you that I'm right." Basically is what he's saying. He's like, God will reveal that to you as well. He goes, listen, you know, if you don't think I'm right on this thing, don't worry about it. You pray, God will tell you, oh, yeah, that is right. He's got it all figured out. And he ends with this. However, let's keep what? Living. Let's keep living by the same standard to which we've attained. In other translations, it says, listen, don't fall short of what you've already gotten. Don't fall backwards. Don't regress in your walk with Jesus Christ because of what's happened in the past. The big idea for today is really, really simple. And that is, we need to learn from your yesterdays. And that's really important, because some people go, just forget yesterday. No. Those that don't learn from their mistakes are destined to what? Repeat that, right? So you have to learn from your yesterdays. Like if you had a kid and he kept licking light sockets, at some point in time, you're like, man, I think there may be something wrong with this kid. Right? You would be like, oh, there's something wrong here, because they haven't learned. So we need to learn from our yesterdays. But we need to keep living for your todays. You need to learn from your yesterdays, but you need to keep living for your todays. You see, today is the day that God has called you to do something. Yesterday is over with. Do you realize you can't change anything that happened yesterday? Do you know that? Anybody here not realize that you can't change anything that happened from yesterday? Right? We all know that. But without anybody raising their hands, how many of you have tried? Thanks, Sean. It's like, I'll own up to it. We try all the time. We're like, oh, I can fix that. No, you cannot fix that. Yesterday is past. It's over with. It can't be changed. It can't be altered. Like time travel. No, there's no such thing as time travel, except if you're God, because he exists outside of time. Again, mind blown for a moment there. But the reality is that yesterday is over with. But the problem is that so many of us continue to live in our yesterdays that we're not living for today. We've allowed the baggage of yesterday to weigh us down and not live our today the way that we're supposed to live. And we are not winning any days because we keep living in yesterdays. So, there are three things I want to share with you as we look at this, because Paul says, forget what lies behind, right? Our life, because we're human beings, we live in time. Therefore, our lives are lived linearly. Straight line. So you're like, no, my life is not a straight line. Well, okay, but you have to keep going forward, right? You have to keep moving forward. You can stop and you can go, I'm going to stop living. I'm just going to let time be still. It doesn't work. Time continues to carry on no matter what you do. And so what is behind you is always behind you. And Paul says, listen, you need to forget what has happened in the past, because you cannot fix the past. So here's what we're going to do. Together we're going to say this, my past is over with, right? 1, 2, 3, my past is over with. My past is over with. You may need to write that down and go, you know what, I think I need to remember, my past is over with. And here's the other thing. Sometimes we think of past, right, our negative past. That's what we typically think of. Some of you are living in your positive past. Well, back when I was in high school, You need to let that past go too. You need to forget what lays behind. Part two of that process is you need to press on, reach in, lean into, stretch out towards what you have today. Paul's saying, listen, in today, there are things that you're supposed to do. Do you realize The Bible says that this day, January 1st, 2023, that God has specific and detailed things that you are supposed to accomplish today in this day. You go, well, what are they? I don't know. Like, how am I supposed to do that? You're supposed to live and be and follow Jesus Christ as much as you can. And what's amazing is that those things get checked off our list, because when we follow God, that's what God does. And God moves on our behalf as we do that. And so Paul says, listen, don't waste all your energy on the past. Instead, lean in to what's going on right now in front of you. Be present in the moment. Have you ever been somewhere and you weren't present in that moment? There are so many things, and I say we because I mean we. So many things that we miss out on as human beings because we're not present in the moment. Have you ever been doing something and you got caught off guard? For example, like you're driving, and I get to drive home all the time. I get about a 25-minute drive home, and when I drive home, the sun is always setting. Or it's pitch black. But most of the year it's setting. There are times I'm driving home and I'm not thinking about anything and I'm just kind of processing, and I look up and I'm like, oh my goodness, look at that sunset. Do you know that's how God wants us to live every single day? How many moments did we miss when our kids were younger because we weren't present in that moment? How many moments did we miss when we were out doing something? How many moments let us pass us by? How many opportunities did we wash over because we weren't present in the moment? So Paul says, forget the past, be present, stretch into, lean into, press towards what is right here. And then he says, your calling. God has called you. I don't care who you are. You're like, oh, I'm a nobody. I just do this. I work a 9-to-5. No. You are unique and specific to God's plan in the universe. There are things that God has for you to accomplish. It's one of the things we talk about here. You are to become the man or the woman that God has called you to become. And for each of us, it's different. I can't tell you what it is. I can't tell you what yours looks like. But I know that God has a calling and a purpose on your life. And don't be fooled into thinking that that means that you need to stop working. You need just to volunteer at the church all the time because that's the only place that God works. No, sometimes the greatest place that God can have you is present at your work and being the light to the people around you where God has placed you. Your calling. So I'll share with you just three statements that are supported by Scripture. And I'm not going to give you a lot of Scripture because I didn't want to go real long today, but you can look these up, and I want to just share these with you. I think they're powerful statements that maybe you need to just write down and remind yourself, because if you're going to be able to forget yesterday, you need to allow these three things to permeate into your thinking and your processing and your belief system. And the first one is this: what has happened to you doesn't limit you. What has happened to you doesn't limit you. Our world, whether you want to believe it or not, is an evil place. And more than likely, there are things that have happened to you that are not your fault. People doing things to you that you didn't cause, you didn't ask for, you didn't make the choice to be put in that position. And there are things that have happened to you. And when things happen to us, we tend to believe that somehow changes and therefore limits our ability to do other things. When you follow Jesus Christ, any limitations that you might believe you have are removed based upon the calling that God has given you. And let me explain that. You might be going, well, there's no limitations on me. I'm 5'7". I should be able to dunk a basketball. No. All limitations are removed based upon the calling that God has on your life. So you're like, well, I can't do X because this happened to me. Not true. Because when you accepted Jesus Christ, all your yesterdays were paid for. And limitations that would keep you from pursuing your calling have been removed. What happened to you doesn't limit you. The second one is this. What you haven't done doesn't make you a failure. What you haven't done doesn't make you a failure. I recently just turned 51. And I'm going to tell you right now that at this stage in my life, there were some things that I felt I should have done by this point in time. Those of you that are inching towards me, those of you that are like, I just turned 30 and I feel like my life is over. Gosh, grow up, okay? No, I was teasing. But here's the reality. There are things in our life that we feel like we should have done at certain points in our life. There are mile markers that we look at. You know, there's the 18, then there's 21, then there's 25. Hey, I can rent a car without mom and dad's approval. You know, then there's 30, and then there's 35, and then there's, for some reason, it goes from 35 to 45. I'm not sure exactly what happens there. Then there's the 50 mark, right? There are certain times in your life where you're like, I feel like I should have done X by now. Listen, Abraham didn't start following God until he was 80. Noah started building a boat at 90. Your time in life doesn't mean you're a failure. The reality is that you can be used by God no matter what you haven't done up to this point in time. So stop looking at what has already happened and say, well, I haven't done X yet, therefore I am a failure. So what has happened to you doesn't limit you. What you haven't done doesn't make you a failure. And what you were doesn't have to be who you are. What you were doesn't have to be who you are. I love the Word of God. I love the Bible. And I'm like, well, you're a pastor, you're supposed to. No. Let me tell you why. It is unlike any other religious book, and I use religious in big time air quotes because I don't believe the Bible is a religious book. I believe the Bible is something that God gave us to show us what the world is like, to show us what He is like, to draw us to Himself. It's not a religious book. But you look through all other quote unquote religious books, and rarely will you find where it gives you all the negatives of the people that are supposed to be the heroes of the story. David was an adulterer, and he killed the guy that he had an affair with, his wife, killed the guy who was the husband. Moses was a screw-up. He actually was a murderer, too. Peter was a liar. Matthew, the Bible says he was a tax collector, which was worse than a liar. That's probably a traitor to his nation. We've got Solomon, who was supposedly the wisest man that ever lived, but he did so many dumb things. He married 900 women. What a thought with that. I mean, you look at all these things and all these people that are the heroes of the faith, and God doesn't shy away from saying, listen, they're screw-ups just like you. The difference is that when they knew that they made a mistake, they surrendered to God or to Christ, and they were renewed and restored and were able to move forward. What you were doesn't have to be who you are. You are not held by the things that you've done in the past or who you were in the past or how you behaved in the past. Because Jesus Christ's death on the cross paid for every bit of it. And Paul says in another one of his books to the church at Corinth that you are a new creation in Jesus Christ. What has happened to you doesn't limit you. What you haven't done doesn't make you a failure. What you were doesn't have to be who you are. Because we should learn from our yesterdays, but we need to keep living our todays. When you came in this morning, you got a little piece of paper. I've had a bunch of people ask me, what is this? Is this coffee filter? What is this? Okay. So here's what I want to ask you to do. First of all, get it out real quick. Just kind of wave it like this. Okay. If you don't have one, just kind of wave your hand, wave your empty hand. We've got some more. We want to give them to you. I want everyone to have one of these, okay? Wave it. All right, good. Now here's what I want you to do. Right in front of you, there is a pen. And I'm going to have you grab that pen. And here's what I want you to do. There are three bowls up here. There's a bowl there. There's a bowl there. And there's a bowl over there. And I want you to take that piece of paper and I want you to write one thing from your yesterdays that you need to forget. Now you go, does it have to be this last year? Nope. It can be from your childhood. It can be, you know, just something from this last year, or it could be something from 30 years ago that you have allowed to hang around in your life. It could be, like we've talked about, something that's happened to you. It could be something that you haven't done yet. It could be something or someone who you were or how you behaved. And I want you to write it down on that piece of paper. And then what I want you to do is I'm going to write mine down in just a minute. And I want you to crumple it up so no one else can see it because it's none of their business. If someone starts looking over your shoulder, just slap them. And then say, mind your business, right? Because this is between you and God. It's not about anybody else. It's between you and God. So you write it down. Now, I'm going to ask the worship team to go ahead and get theirs, and I'm going to ask you guys to lead us. Just put them in one of those bowls and come on up here because we're going to, as soon as we get finished with this, we're going to roll into a song. In fact, it's one of the songs that we taught you. It's called Our Eyes Are On You. Do you remember that? We taught you about a month and a half, 2 months ago. It's an amazing song, and it begins like this. It says, are you the God of the heavens? Are you truly the God who can make a difference? Are you truly the one who can step into my life and change everything? Because here's the thing, God, I don't know what to do. Maybe you're like, listen, this thing I'm writing down, I don't know how to forget it. But God, I'm looking at you. And that's how it goes. It goes, our eyes are on you. And it's from a prayer from the Old Testament that we shared with you, how the nations came against the nation of Judah, and the king prayed, and his end of his prayer was like, I don't know what to do. But we're looking at you, and God saved him. So what I want you to do is I want you to write that down on that piece of paper. And as Caitlin just plays, as she slowly gets to her guitar, as Caitlin plays, I want you to just kind of move from your seat, and I want you to just throw it in one of those bowls. Crumple it up, don't let anyone see it, and throw it in one of those bowls, and then we're going to gather them together, and we're going to start this year we'll just say with a bang, okay? So go ahead and write it down right now. Go ahead, I'm going to write mine down. Now, when you're ready, just kind of come up right here, just right in there, right in here, right in there. Just be like, are we supposed to move? Yep, move. It's okay. Move your feet. Fold it up. Crumple it in there.